Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Max.
You want to record a podcast?
Sure, Max.
Let's go.
We're off beat tracks. Episode 115.
Oh, nice pickup. See, I didn't have anything planned beyond that.
No, I didn't either.
Well done.
Anyway.
Hi. It's Monday. Thank you for tuning in and checking us out.
Hope you've had enough caffeine because we're going to go Euro dance as hell. You better be ready.
You're going to need it.
You better not have Sundayed Funday too hard yesterday because this will kill your hangover. Wait till tomorrow to listen to it. Sorry.
So if you have not figured it out yet, we're talking about Aqua this week.
Whether you want us to or not.
That's right. Too bad. So first of all, Aqua is a way older group than I assumed. I don't know that either. I saw one source that said they were formed in 1989. I could not confirm that except for the one. But they've been around since 1994, which even still surprised me because I assumed that Aqua formed roughly 3 days before Barbie Girl was recorded.
Or maybe like wasn't even formed yet. It just like happened in the studio and then they were like, we need to hire people to be these voices. That's kind of what I always thought.
So you probably know more about their background than I do.
I really don't know much. I just know they're Norwegian and Danish. We've got like, people with funny names I don't know how to pronounce.
Yes. I'm not. Soren and Klaus, we know.
Soren, Klaus, Rene Dief.
Oh, yes. Soren, Klaus, and Rene. And then the lead singer, Lene.
I don't know how to do it. It just sounds
Lena.
Wrong.
Lena.
I always said Lena, Lena. But I don't know if it's
right. It looks
right.
Like Lena.
Like, I can't tell. Like, it looks like lean to me.
Yes.
But it's not lean.
It's not.
Yeah.
Lean is something that Lil Wayne drinks. Soren is the keyboardist, and Klaus is the guitarist. And the story I read was that they got hired to produce some music for a children's movie in the early 1990s and decided to, I guess, run with this as a musical project. So they added in Rene Dief, who is the
bald rapper guy.
Yes, the bald rapper man.
Which,
large bald rapper man.
When I was doing this, I never knew any of their names other than Lenny. I could never remember which one was which. Mm-hmm. And like, even after reading it, I'm like, I still can't tell which one is which. They're not doing anything. They're like, you know, the DJ. I'm like, who? Yeah, so I was like, bald rapper guy from Aqua in Google. Somebody has a fake Twitter of that, by the way. I'm like, see, the bald rapper guy from Aqua. They know.
They have a Twitter account like running as
someone
the bald
has,
rapper
you know,
guy
like,
from Aqua.
I think it was like an attempt at a parody account, but it only has 40 followers, but I found it. Someone was thinking bald rapper guy from
Aqua.
Aqua.
Funny. That's actually pretty funny. That's a funny idea.
I know, but nobody listened to it.
Womp
anyway,
womp.
That's Rene Dief.
Yes.
Is the bald rapper guy.
And then they added the vocalist, Lene. Eventually there in the next couple of years.
Who apparently started off dating Rene Dief.
Oh, okay.
He dated for a minute. So, but then she ended up dating Soren, and now, well, they're not married anymore, but they were married for like 16 years.
Wow.
And have 2 kids. They just got divorced like last year. Aww. Total trage.
Aw. Their first single they released under the name Joyspeed. Not really sure what that's about. That's actually a pretty apt name for their group, though.
I mean, yeah.
Because they essentially make music that is a blend of like Eurodance, Eurohouse, and happy hardcore music. So it works to call
like,
them Joyspeed.
It's like the beginning of nightcore. You know what nightcore is?
Nightcore.
It's like this thing that teenagers like, but it's basically like, do you remember like Scooter back like 20 years ago? Like
back to the family, to guarantee the emergency, to radical emergency, you got the melody.
Like,
yeah,
they're,
him?
Like, they're like a, I don't know that one. Like the logical
Fire,
song version.
That's the only one I know by him.
Oh, I don't know that
okay.
one.
Okay. Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about.
Their version of Logical Song. It's like just the Logical Song, but really sped up. Like it's just like...
Like the Supertramp song?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
that's
like a cover
trip.
Of it, and it's like really fast, and it's got a really high-pitched voice. It's just basically the real song, but just like sped up, and it's like... And it became a big thing. That's like the beginning of this. That's what it sounds like.
Yes. So what this is, they decided to do like a happy hardcore version of the Itsy Bitsy Spider, and I love this. I'm so here for it. You don't think it's cute and funny?
I mean, kind of, yeah.
I think it's
but
awesome.
It's, I mean, like, I like it, and it's funny, and I don't know, I can't love it, but it's, I like it for what it is. They should have done, like, a whole album called it, like, Trance for Tots. That would be pretty cool.
Trance for Tots. Oh, my God.
Trance.
Oh, They would release singles entitled Roses Are Red and My Oh My that's over the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's on the first album. And they're like, they're okay. I don't really like those songs.
But My Oh My was kind of their breakthrough. That was their first big hit across Europe. But it wasn't until their third single that they really broke through worldwide. That, of course, was Barbie Girl. And this was off their album Aquarium, which, so technically the third single, but the first international breakthrough hit, May 1997. And it sent Aquarium to the number 7 spot in the US and number 6 in the UK. This was a number 7 hit in the US, and
I can't believe it wasn't higher.
No, and it was number 1 basically every single country in Europe.
Yeah, except for France. It was like number 14 or something. France was like, I don't know about it.
Everyone knows this song. I mean, I think at this point, it's really fair to call this a cultural icon of a song.
Oh, yeah. I remember, I mean, I have such a love for this album because I had this album. I got it for Christmas 97. I was obsessed with
That's
it.
Cute.
I was 12. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it is an album that has lasted the whole time. Like, I love listening to it every time I do. So like, Barbie Girl, I remember the first time I heard it on the radio. I'm like walking around the house. Summer of 97, and I hear that song and I'm like, holy shit, that is for me. And I had never heard anything like it, and it was silly and like Euro-y, and I didn't know what that was yet.
But you just knew you
I
liked
just
it.
Remember, and I was like, that is just giant, that's it. And then it was everywhere for the next few months, everywhere, whether you want it to be or not. Perfect.
Yeah, I just, it's impossible not to be back at a very specific place in time when you hear that song.
Yeah, it's like one of those mid-90s songs. It's like the Macarena.
This is a super nostalgic song, this next one, for me also. This
Track
is,
8 on the album.
This is one of 3 Aqua songs I could have named before researching this episode. But this is Lollipop, also called Candyman, which was a number 23 hit in the U.S. Not believe that.
It was on the radio. Do you remember the box? I remember this was...
Oh, yeah,
this
of course.
Video was on the box constantly.
I knew this one because this was in the days of anime music videos, and because I was that kind of kid who used to watch those on E-Bombs World and such. That's also how I discovered Karamba, because there was one that floated around for Hubba Hubba Zoot Zoot. And there was definitely an anime music video for Lollipop by Aqua. And that was how we discovered it. And I've been sold on that delicious little flute motif that is through this whole song. Oh, it's just so, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Good. It's good. It's fun. Find me, I'm yours. If you're hungry, please understand. This is the end of the sweet sugar candy man.
Oh, boy. I think we might have to put our FBI hats on for this one.
Oh, okay.
For Dr. Jones is the next song we're going to talk about here.
I love Dr. Jones. Track 5 on the album.
If you asked me... Thank you.
I used to listen to the CD.
If you asked me what this was about, my best answer would be it is about an affair with an archaeologist who may or may not be dead.
Indiana Jones, right? Isn't it about
But he
Indiana
may or may
Jones?
Not be dead.
Oh. I've never seen
that's what
Indiana
I got,
Jones.
That's what I got from the lyrics.
Oh, I always heard it was about Indiana Jones.
I mean, it probably is.
Yeah.
But I like
Well, that was, like, this was me and when I first moved into, I have, like, an intense emotional attachment to this song.
Mm-hmm.
When I first moved into college, I was, like, not that great of friends with my roommate. We had, like, nothing in common. But then we soon realized that we had Aqua in common. And we loved Dr. Jones. And then we became, like, the best of friends. And every morning, he had a fancy alarm clock that had a CD that you could, like, program what track it was. Every single morning, we woke up to track 5 on this and sang Dr. Jones every single morning. And also, it had to be a big enough hit in Europe because that was actually a trivia question about Dr. Jones.
And interesting.
That's how I found out the Indiana Jones thing because I thought about it. I was like, is that Aqua? Is that about Indiana Jones? I just love this song. It's so singable. Baby, I am missing you. I want you by my side. And I hope you'll miss me too.
to May of 1998 now and turn back time. Aqua decides to release like a down-tempo jam here.
May I applaud into this microphone?
Oh, yes.
I think this is perfect and beautiful, and I will never not love this song.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I love it. It was on the soundtrack to a movie. Did you know that? It was on the soundtrack to the movie Sliding Doors, the Gwyneth Paltrow movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. It feels like a movie song. And if you look at the music video, it's got clips from the film in it.
Oh, I never really thought about it. I just always love this song. I think it was track 11. I think it's 9 or 11, but I think it was 11. I don't know. I love it. And the first time I ever heard it, I was like 12. And it's that time when you're like starting to like boys and be sad about them and like feel like everything you're feeling is the height of emotion. And you're like so heartbroken. And so like that's what this song was to me. It reminds me of that. And anytime I hear it, I still feel like that. Oh, it's so beautiful. So give me strength to face this test to my.
Aqua's next album came out in February of 2000.
And it is so 2000.
It is so 2000.
Everything about it is just 2000.
Yes. They led off with the single Cartoon Heroes about a month before the album came out, which again is very 2000.
I hate this song so much. It's kitschy in a way that's like I can't
Lene dressed up as Lilu from The Fifth Element in the music video is something. The music video is just worthwhile. The most worthwhile part of this song is the music video because there's this like bizarre octopus monster. It's just go check out the music
really
video.
Really into space stuff and weird.
Yeah, remember that
things.
Like 2000. Like okay, so the thing in the early 90s, like the late 80s to the early 90s. One of my favorite podcast hosts, Bob Mackey, he refers to that era as Dinomania because like cavemen and dinosaurs were like a really big thing for those few years, which is accurate. By this point, it was space. Everything was outer space, futuristic technology, space. And every music video, for whatever reason, everybody was in a silver suit with really tiny, skinny sunglasses, and they were floating in a spaceship at zero gravity.
Yeah, especially there was a lot of Eurodance stuff like that. I remember Eiffel 65 had a bunch of stuff like that around this time. It's just, I can't do it. I hate this song. I just hate it. I never want to hear it again. We are the cartoon heroes. We are the ones who got.
Aquarius, the album came out right at the end of February 2000, peaked at number 82. It was we'll call it a modest hit.
It was okay.
And Around the World is the second single released. The second best song of that title released in the year 2000,
my
opinion.
Was it ATC?
Yes.
A Touch of Class. I remember. Yes. I loved that song. I loved it.
Yes, I did too.
But we're not talking about that one.
Sampled very coolly, by the way, by an artist who called herself Auburn. In like 2010 for a song called La La La.
La 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 La.
Yeah. Well, she sampled it and kind of made it into like this R&B dance pop song. And it was very cute. Anyway.
Anyway, this Around the World.
This is not that Around the World. This is a different Around the World.
But it's kind of similar. I really loved this song back then. Like, I knew it was like new Aqua. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I'm 15 now. It's going to be grown up Aqua. And then I really liked it though.
Grown up Aqua. You assumed Aqua had matured in 3 years.
Oh, I thought I was fully grown at 15 and had mastered all of the lessons of the universe. So will you just let me have this one?
We need to see where artistically they're headed after the Aquarium album. Okay.
Yeah, no, I really liked this song, but I also haven't listened to it probably since about then. So like listening to it before then, it's like I remember the lyrics and stuff, but God, it just falls flat. It's actually really terrible, isn't it? It's really bad. That's the riddle of it. That's the spirit of it. That's the power of life. I've been around.
I do love this song from this second album, Bumblebees, and mostly because it sounds like a probably something that was left over from the first album, but I love it.
I kind of like it too. I can't.
I didn't say, by the way, I forgot to mention when we were still talking, when we were still in the aquarium area, I love the cover art to Aquarium.
It's awesome, isn't
it? Yeah, I don't think they would ever come close to doing anything that cool with their cover art again, but that cover art is very iconic to me. I like it because
that shade of blue is the best.
That shade of blue is the best shade of blue, yes.
Yes.
It looks like they're underwater, even though they're kind of not, but they also stylized it a little bit to look like an old record, like from the 40s or 50s, yeah, with the little, you know, oh, today on Polygram Records. Like, I don't know.
I think it's very cool.
It's great cover art. Anyway, Bumblebees, really into this one too. This is some like happy Euro house. I'm here for
it. Yeah, it's fully Euro. I love a song about, you know, some guy is just going around pollinating everything. she's like, I'm ready for it. I don't know. I kind of like it. It's just so silly. Hey, Rose, I'm ready again. I got my radar tuned in on you, baby. I'm all set and ready to land.
Aqua did release a greatest hits album, even though they broke up after the second record. They released a greatest hits album in 2009 and put out a new single off of it called Back to the 80s.
I tell you what.
For some reason, it's bizarre to be nostalgic for, like, usually when bands do ironic songs like this, it's like they're nostalgic for the era when they were, like, on top of the world. So why Aqua is nostalgic for the decade before they were a band? I don't know. It's interesting.
What year was this? Like 2009?
Yeah, this was May of 2009.
Around that time, there was a lot of that in Europe, like that Calvin Harris song. What was that Calvin Harris song that came out a little bit before it that was huge? Something about the 80s.
I don't remember that one.
80s.
It
was on Just Dance, the first Just Dance.
Oh. The 80s nostalgia that I think of from this era is like Milo. Remember Milo?
Yes.
Yeah. We're totally going to do a Milo episode, by the way. That's a thing.
We should just stop it and do it now. No, like, it was kind of like this, so I get it. And I don't know. I just can't do this kind of nostalgia thing. This feels like nostalgia for nostalgia's sake. Like, the actual song behind it, the music, slaps in the background. If you take out the vocal and change the lyrics, it would be awesome. But if you... The lyrics aren't
doing it for you, huh?
Like, it's just so over the top, just to be over the top, and it doesn't need to be. Doesn't need to be.
I just want to know what Jericho is. They mentioned Rocky and Jericho. And like, I guess Rocky is like the boxing movie, right?
Maybe. Jericho could be.
I don't know.
Might just be some weird Euro thing.
Anyway, that reference is over my head. So we move on to 2011 when Aqua decides to reunite and do a third album. And it was called Megalomania.
And it is so 2011.
It is so 2011. They actually did manage to like update their sound and make music that sounds like 2011. It's very impressive.
It sounds so 2011 in all of the ways that I loved 2011 in pop music. It was one of the last years that I actually enjoyed it.
Interesting.
And I felt something from it.
The first single off of it was called How Are You Doin'?
And it's spelled dumb because it's dumb.
Yeah, 2011. but yeah, this does sound like it fit in with 2011 pop. It kind of reminded me of...
Like a G6.
Yeah, kind of. It kind of reminded me of, what was her name? Cascada?
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah, like yeah, Evacuate the Dance Floor.
It is. There, so many people at that time were doing this like awesome club sound. Mm-hmm. And that's what this was. Like, you know, Gaga had a little bit of that. Rihanna was doing it. Awesome. Like, it was Britney had an album that sounded like this, and it was just that great pop music, just perfectly danceable. Mm-hmm. You may not love it, may not have a lot of substance, but if that comes on in a club, you're dancing, and I love it. If you're feeling alive, we want to know now, are you ready? Tonight it's time to party, because the feeling.
Playmate to Jesus. These next two singles were both released on the same day, which I thought was kind of interesting. They were both released on September the 12th, 2011.
Are there any rules anymore?
I don't, guess whatever. yeah, this is like kind of like an anthemic pop song.
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't know. I kind of like it. I don't know how I feel about it. How did you feel about it?
I mean, it's okay.
It was
definitely not as memorable as the next one.
Oh my God. There was a reason I put that on there. Yeah, no, Playmate to Jesus, I like saw that title and I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the hell is this going to be? And then, I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting from it, but it wasn't this and I can't tell. There was a really good thing I saw in an article. Time Magazine like wrote something about it and they said that it, quote, has the dubious distinction of sounding vaguely like a Lady Gaga track that didn't pass quality control. And I'm like, you know what? That's like kind of perfect. That's a perfect descriptor of it. And so 2011.
Gaga's my girl, but I'll go along with that. Sure.
Well, it didn't pass quality control. That's
right. Let's go into space. Heading for Venus. Fly around the sun. Playmate to Jesus. Everywhere I go, I pray for universal love. High above the sky, closer to heaven. Here among the stars, all is forgiven. Everywhere I go, I pray for universal love. So talk about having expectations going into a song and then them not being met, for better or worse. I started this one. I'd never heard this song before, of course. I mentioned earlier, by the way, that I knew three Aqua songs. Back to the 80s is the other one I meant, because for whatever reason, like when you do Pandora or Spotify radio or whatever, they love to throw back to the 80s on there. I don't know why. But yeah, I'd never heard this before. So I start listening to it and I'm going, oh, this is pretty forgettable. Like, yeah, it's just whatever.
Like, you're dancing. It's a good club little jam. And then?
And then the chorus happened. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's exactly how I did. Like, I was just kind of like listening to songs because I never listened to this album. And I was like, oh, what should I put on there to talk about? And then I was like, oh, Like a Robot. And then I was like, I don't know about this. I'm just grinning. And then it was like, you know, then they throw in a little F word in the, and it's, I love it because I get it. And I love it. I love it. It
yep, really it's puts like the if edge you, on. If you think I'm so great, how come you can't do me right? It's basically the point. Like, and you know, a girl's got a point.
Hey, sometimes just you just gotta say it. I love this song. It's so good. Even after 1, 2, 3 tequila shots, you still leave me high and dry. Thanks a lot. But everywhere I go, guys say I'm so hot. So why do you still fuck me like a robot?
Now, we're going to rewind a little bit because you mentioned you wanted to talk about. Lena had a solo album.
Apparently, three of them had solo stuff, which I never knew until recently. And I'm not listening to the other people's
no,
stuff.
We're, because, we're like, talking when I found about that out, specifically about Lena's solo album, yeah, her only one from 2003.
Yeah. And I remember I was paying attention to it back then. I don't know why. So I started downloading stuff. She had this one song called It's Your Duty that became one of my most played songs on iTunes throughout my college years because it's so stupid and so fun with the chorus, it's your duty to shake that booty.
That's right.
And even though that's stupid,
it's can your you duty to shake that booty.
Isn't
yeah.
that kind of fun though?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
this
it's
is
stupid and it's
like you'll be singing it the rest of the day as soon as you hear this clip.
I mean, it's oh, so good. Some people are born to be safe and cannot take a risk. Handcuff up your boss, yeah, they're up. He might like it, like it.
And that's Aqua. The most recent album they have put out was 2011, but they may be working on a new one. They are
why not?
They are together again. They reunited a couple of years ago and are doing these like retro tours, which is so weird to me to think about bands that I was listening to, whatever, being on retro tours.
That's their problem, not mine.
I know. Anyway, just own personal crisis there.
Oh, no, I get it.
Moving on. Klaus is not involved, though. It's just Lainey and Renee and Soren. Not sure what Klaus is off doing, his own thing. But they did release a new single just 2 months ago, and it is called Rookie. Mm-hmm. And we will put it in the playlist for this show.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm glad that Aqua is still very much happy and Aqua and doing their thing.
People are still paying attention in Denmark. They love them in Denmark.
They are such an important mark on pop culture in a very positive way. And so I think that they deserve every bit of respect that they don't get.
They're cheesy, but it's like it still makes you happy. It's just completely happy music. And I don't know. I just wish there were more acts like that where you listen to it and you might be like, roll your eyes for a minute, but you're going to enjoy it. It's just so positive. I love it.
If you would like to check out Rookie on our website, which will be in the playlist, you can do so on the episode page for this show, which you will find at offbeattrackscast.com.
Yes, and if you want to talk to us about your specific Aqua memories, we are on Twitter at offbeattrack.
Yes, we are, and we will be back next week. So until then, I'm Max.
I'm Danielle.
See ya.